Well, I think the Air Force has structured the competition in a black-white manner. What they did this time was to state their minimum requirements, and each of the bidders were evaluated based on yes, no, did they meet this minimum requirement, and then the rest of the competition was totally on price. So the Air Force has structured a competition that I believe is going to be very difficult to protest. It doesn't mean EADS will not protest it, but it does mean that it's more black and white than it has been in the past.
Most of the folks that I've talked to since this came down have said, I can't imagine that there would have been much wiggle room. People expected this decision to be pretty airtight, so that when EADS sat down with folks from the Pentagon yesterday, that was the result, that it would be very clear to them that we did this so as to avoid this and get on with building the planes.
Francis, I agree with you. In fact, as your listeners know, the KC-135 is 50 years old as we speak right now, and it is we're in overtime. They don't even make parts for the parts of the KC-135 anymore. I think that the Air Force's structure of the program, having minimum requirements and spreading them out. There were 372 mandatory requirements in the contract that had to be met. And like I said, it was yes or no, did you meet every one of them?
I had your former boss on the program on Friday, General Myers, and he said that from a warfighter's perspective, we just need a plane, and it's not as important to the actual warfighters whether it's an EADS plane or a Boeing plane. It's just we need something, kind of reinforcing what you just said about the age of the KC-135.
I would never publicly disagree with my former boss. No, I think he's exactly right. I think General Myers is right. Even if you look at an optimistic projection of at the rate we're going to buy these tankers, it's going to be certainly into the 2030s before we replace all the KC-135, maybe even into the 2040s.
What do you know about the planes that Boeing will build on this contract?
Well, it's based on a 767 commercial airframe. It's completely different inside. When people think of the 767, they think of an airplane that was designed in the early 80s. It's completely different inside. It has updated engines and avionics. And it also has the capability to refuel not just with a boom, but also with the probe and drogue system that the Navy uses. Now, that may not sound important to you or your listeners, but as a guy who flew an F-15 and arrived at a tanker to get gas, only to find not a boom, but a basket on the other end, and I couldn't get gas from the tanker, it's quite disconcerting to the warfighter.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a bummer if you get to that point in the air and you all of a sudden realize you can't fill up.
That's exactly right. And of course, I was lucky to be in a place where I could just divert to another base, but had I been in a wartime environment, then, of course, the mission and sortie would have been lost.
Yeah. Since the beginning, you've been pretty outspoken about, let's just get this done, let's get a deal done. Are you confident that what the Boeing company is going to build is going to fit this need, is going to be good for, as you said, the next decades that it will take to get all these built and off the ground?
Oh, I think so. In fact, General Myers put it very well. We have to get on with it. There are the United States commercial carriers stopped flying the Boeing 707 airframe, and that's the airframe that the KC-135 is based on. They stopped flying it in the 1980s. So no one else in the United States flies that airframe except for the United States Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to get on and moving forward to replace it. I might also add that the maintenance cost for maintaining this aircraft is increasing almost exponentially in some cases. And we've had times in the last 15 years where the backlog at depot was hundreds of airplanes.
Is this a case like with I'm thinking about my dad, who used to be involved in restoring automobiles, classic collector automobiles, and the parts were no longer available, and he'd have to go to a machine shop and have them custom make whatever it was he needed to stick in the vehicle. Is that where we are with the KC-135s?
Absolutely. And now, some people may say, oh, a collectible automobile, that's a great analogy. I use that here at the Air Force Association, but I have to tell you there's a little enamorment with it, because when you think about it, what we're asking this airplane to do, if it were a car, is drive cross-country on high-speed internets and arrive safely at the other end days and months later.
Yeah, it seems rather quaint and fun and neat with an old convertible, and with a piece of warfighting equipment doesn't quite seem so quaint and desirable. What do we maybe not know about this process or about the aircraft itself or anything to do with this tanker contract that maybe we should know? Not for nefarious purposes, not things that were hidden necessarily, but just information that hasn't gotten a lot of attention that you think maybe should.
Well, from my view, the government actually benefited by this selection process. It's not common knowledge that they got a firm fixed price contract for the development of four aircraft at $3.5 billion, and that the 179 aircraft buy is going to be come in at just a little over $30 billion, and it's dependent on what kind of options are taken as they go through contract negotiations. It is also a firm fixed price contract. Now, that's very beneficial on behalf of the government because it's not the normal contracts are cost plus incentive fee. This keeps Boeing's feet to the fire to produce an aircraft that's in an efficient manner that meets the Air Force requirements.
Do you see anything in this process that is maybe a little different than before, like maybe those the kind of contract that it is, that you expect to see a lot more in big procurements like this?
I do. I expect to see a lot more, certainly in the procurement side of the house. The department has announced that it'd like to move to firm fixed price contracts. I'm a little concerned about that, especially in the development phase, because there are a certain risks as you develop something that's brand new that you are going to come across that you did not expect. I mean, the perfect example is the mixing bowl south in the Springfield area. It was 10 years over budget and about $1 billion over cost, and it's a highway. It's not anything new. So it's sometimes you come across things that are unexpected as you make new things.
General.